Welcome to the Awakened Collective, where we explore the topics of love, spiritual consciousness, and our divine purpose on this planet. Join us as we uncover the truth that our thoughts shape our reality. Welcome to the Awakened Collective. I'm Rick Gregory, and I'm so glad you're here with us. As always, I want to remind you that you have never been separated from your Creator. We have never been separated from one another. You are the divine extension of your Creator's love on this planet. And it's maybe just my opinion, but I think that we can attribute all the darkness in our world to the fact that we may think that we are separate from God or from our Creator, whatever name you choose to use, or from one another. And we're not. So let's believe that. Anyway, I'm glad you're here. Thank you to Daniel Anderson, Audio Alchemy Productions, and the gift they are to the world. And I do want to say that Daniel reminded me, or let me know this morning, that he is 3 followers away on TikTok to reach 10,000. And that's what you have to have on TikTok to be able to live stream to TikTok. 3 followers. So if you're listening to this, find Audio Alchemy Productions on TikTok and follow it. We'll put a link in this Facebook page as well. We would be so grateful. Only 3. That's all it takes. We have a couple of wonderful guests this morning, and I'm really excited to get into introducing them. As you know, we are all about providing service, love, kindness to humanity, that it's about giving back. And these are 2 people who are giving back. And I'm really grateful for them this morning. So we have with us this morning, we have Betsy Martell and Steve Noctegal. And let me tell you a little bit about them. First of all, I want to tell you about Betsy. Betsy and I connected on a digital marketing journey. We were on the same team. We had the same coach. And I think Betsy also remembers that in our first meeting, I think I might have told her that I loved her. The very first meeting, there was just something about this lady. And once you get to meet her, I think you will agree. She is a wonderful human being and a dear friend of mine. We have been friends now for about 1.5 years, and we talk almost every week. And I'm really glad she's here. And then we have Steve Noctegal as well. And I want to get into a little bit of a bio on each of them. So Betsy is not only a life coach and a personal trainer, but she's a dedicated advocate for empowered parenting. So, and after a brief stint as an audiologist, she made the courageous decision to become a stay-at-home mom. Now she's on a mission to guide parents toward confidence and empowerment as they navigate the journey of raising children. Through her insightful guidance and transformative strategies, Betsy is empowering parents to step into their fullest potential and embrace the future with readiness and resilience. Steve Noctegal has over 3 decades of experience as a licensed therapist. He brings a wealth of wisdom and insight to the table. However, his journey took an unexpected turn when he found himself navigating the challenges of single fatherhood after a failed marriage. Known for his hands-on approach to parenting and his commitment to empowering others, Steve has joined forces with Betsy Martell in their shared mission to guide parents toward an empowered life. With a belief in giving bold, truthful, and loving advice, Steve inspires those he helps to embrace transformation and navigate life's challenges with resilience and grace. And they have a webinar that's called No BS with BS. And I think you know what the first BS stands for. The second BS is Betsy and Steve. It's real talk, real support, real solutions, and I'm real glad they are both here today. So welcome, Betsy and Steve.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks for having us.
So glad to have you here. And so glad that you have chosen this path of giving back. It makes my heart smile. And though I don't have any experience as being a stay-at-home dad, I do want to share this one experience with you. I have a daughter who's a single mom in Florida with 3 beautiful children. And she would call often and share the struggle she was having. And I am not a licensed therapist. I would provide whatever experience I could come up with of my own But oftentimes I would have come across a book and I would say, oh, you've got to read this book. Well, then I went down to see her and gave her a break from the kids. She went away on a trip by herself for 4 days, and I had the three kids by myself for those 4 days. And when she came back from her trip, I said, if I ever suggest to you to read a book, you can tell me to shove that book up my ass. Because I didn't have a second to breathe.
Right.
And, you know, it was a whole world of people to help in this arena. And I think that they've been a forgotten group. I mean, I didn't even think about it. So, and I don't think there are two more capable folks of offering that help and support. So welcome. I thought that maybe we could talk about, I would love to hear your journey, what led you, how your lives evolved to get you to this place, how you guys connected together, and about your passion. So I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, well, I guess I'll go first. So really how this all happened was I also found myself alone from a failed marriage. And I mean, I had spent most of my time as a stay-at-home mom, kind of raising the kids alone. My ex-husband traveled a lot and worked a lot. And so I did a lot of it on my own. And, you know, I think it's funny how it's such a privilege to stay home with your kids. It really is. But there's so many things that people don't think about, people don't address, that can go along with that. And I didn't feel like that I could really, you know, complain about it, right? Because it was such a privilege to be able to stay home with them. And people, you know, kind of have this, they envision you staying at home with the kids, just playing with the kids all day and baking cookies and everything's great, right? And so you feel like you just can't reach out. And who do you reach out to? I think a lot of times as moms, as women, we have this like society where we feel like we have to put our best face forward. Like, oh yeah, my family's doing great. Everything's great, you know, and we don't really confide in each other and kind of just really get down to how we're really feeling and the struggles we're really going through. But then when I found myself divorced, it really was, oh my gosh, what did I do to prepare myself for the future, right? I haven't been in the workforce for 20 years or whatever it was. I don't even remember how many years, but it was a long time. And I can't go back to audiology because I'd have to go back to school, which I can't afford the time or the money to do at this point. So what am I going to do with my life? How am I going to do this? It's a very scary thing. So I got to this point where I started getting into digital marketing and trying to figure out how to start my own business and what am I going to do? And of course, that's where I met you, Rick. And that's also where I met Steve. And through all of this, you do a lot of self-development, a lot of looking inside and trying to figure out what is my purpose? What is the thing that I want to do to give back that's going to fulfill me, right? And, you know, kind of toyed with a bunch of different things. And all of a sudden it just came to me one day. I'm like, this is what I know, right? I know what it's like to be a stay-at-home mom. I have talked to several women about the struggles that you have as a stay-at-home mom. This is what I want to do. I came out the other side, right? And I want to now give back. I want to be able to help those moms and open up those discussions and find solutions and give support so that not only can they flourish in their role as a stay-at-home mom, but also in the relationship with their husband or their significant other, and also to be prepared for their future. So when I met Steve and I met at a boot camp of sorts, and it was funny because he came up to me and he said, you know, hey, he's like, do you have a moment to talk? You know, and I was like, yeah, sure. And he asked me, he's like, well, what are you doing? And that is such an open question, right? And I was like, well, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my marketing and, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he saw something in me, right? And as we were there, that's when I really developed this whole idea that this is who I want to help and this is what I want to do. And so he and I stayed in touch and we would Zoom every week. And him coming from his background as a therapist and also, you know, as a single dad and all that, he, you know, or I should say we kind of came to this conclusion that, like, hey, we can do this together. You know, the two of us have something that we can put together with the man's perspective, the women's perspective, and we can help these stay-at-home moms, stay-at-home dads, these people in their relationships, right? So it's evolving, and it's really interesting because now that we have this No BS with BS webinar going on, we're getting people in there that aren't stay-at-home parents. We're getting people that are just in there to become the best version of themselves and to learn how to flourish in their relationship with their significant other. So it's been really, really cool, and we're having a ton of fun. So I'll stop talking now, and I will let Steve give his background.
But speaking of ton of fun, I want Steve to let us know about his motorcycle.
Oh,
my sickle.
That cracked me up.
That was a fun one. Well, yeah, I'll just jump right in. Again, Steve Nachtigall. I was married for 25 years, and about the last 10 or 15, things kind of started going apart. But what happened was, you know, when you're in a relationship and you have a purpose, you have a vision, and you think you're on the same vision, sometimes that vision changes for the individuals, or you get so focused on life. I had a practice. I was built a building. I was expanding the practice and wanting to reach more people, provide more services, working with the homeless and the addictions and those kind of things. And it was really striving, but I realized that we were growing apart. But we still had that common vision because we worked together. You know, being a hands-on dad, you know, that was just what I always did. I would go to work all day, then I would come home, and then, hey, kids, let's go out and play. Let's hang out together. I was also a cook. I mean, we did everything, you know. So, but in that, okay, fast forward, we got to the point, divorced, lost everything, lost the building, lost everything. So I would say I was living a life of having it all to living a life of losing it all. And when you get to that point, you have to really look at yourself, because you're really challenged at the core of who you are, what you want. And, you know, I'm right here going, you know, geez, God, what the heck, you know, I do it right. I did everything right. And this is what I get. So you get hit at every aspect of your life. Well, for the last 20 years, I've counseled off what I call the four legs of the chair: mental, physical, spiritual, social. My passion is to challenge traditional mental health and the way things are being done. From that perspective. So I had to figure out what a healthy Steve looked like. And at that point, I was questioning everything, everything. But the one thing that I knew I still needed to be was a dad. So in that moment of my deepest, darkest time, there was depression, there was anxiety, there was hopelessness, there's all those things. I was like, my kids still need me. Okay. So that was my purpose. That was my focus. What evolved in that was a whole new approach to my, not a whole new approach, but a whole nother layer of counseling and how I grew through those things by doing the work. I always say, if you want to be an effective leader, you have to be able to do the work. Rather than tell somebody what to do, you have to show them. So that was my whole approach. I didn't even know where I was going with this, with the business, with the online business. But I started taking what I learned in my life over here after my sessions at night, out praying, screaming, yelling, all that kind of stuff, just really processing that anger, going through the grieving process. And the very next day I'd be in session helping the client with exactly what I learned. I was going, dang, this is powerful. So that's what kind of led me to this point. I was over here going, I got to do more with what I've learned and what I've been shown and what I've been through. So I've developed my online program. And that's where I started getting into professional development with this company that Betsy and I met through, because this was the first time I got to be able to go to some place and take care of Steve for the first time. I'm always taking care of everybody. This is my first time to take care of Steve. Blew me away. Community, healing at a whole other level. So when we were at this conference, yeah, like Betsy said, we met and we just started talking, and we looked at that and we go, how can we come together with that community to provide a service? And again, we're not over here pushing anything on anybody. We're over here going, we have some guidance, we have some life experiences, we want to share it with you. Take it if you want, leave it, take it, whatever, but we're here to help. So that's what, when Betsy and I, like I said, offline here, Rick, Betsy's my buddy. We just click and we have so much fun. And that's the beauty of when you come together to work with somebody that you click with, you can have fun and still do the work at the same time, because that's the genuine, authentic self. And that's what I think people need to see is, yeah, we can talk about the things that work, but what about the things that don't work? What about my struggles? That's one thing as a therapist I never did. I never put myself up here and a person down here. I'm right here. I can learn from somebody. They can learn from me. And that's what we want to do. We want to be authentic, Betty and Steve. No BS with BS.
That's perfect. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And you said something about the, you know, when you could focus on nothing else, you had, you came back to your kids, in that trying time, you know, and my, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I just celebrated 5 years this past week.
Awesome.
And cannot believe how much my life has changed. But sometimes it's just about the one thing, you know, it's that next one thing. My mind goes in a million different directions, as all of our minds do, but it's just coming back to where my hands and feet are that we talk about in the room. So I love that. You know,
it's funny, Rick, because and Steve both, that I was thinking as Steve was talking about how, you know, when you make that decision to divorce, it's a huge decision. I was married for 29 years. You know, met my husband when I was 18. You know, we raised our kids together. We had great times together, right? And it's like, how do you make that decision, right? To just end all of that. And really what it came down to was me thinking, I am not being the best person I can be for my children. I am miserable. I was coming down with stress-related, you know, health issues. You know, I was angry. I was resentful. I was sad. I mean, I was all these things, all these bad, negative vibes. And then I would have to try to show up for my kids. And I knew that I wasn't. I was doing my best, right? But I knew I wasn't truly there how I should be for them. So that was kind of where I made that decision. Like, hey, I've tried and this isn't working and it's not getting any better. And I need to be there for my kids, right? And I was lucky enough to have a friend who pretty much was going through the same thing at the same time. And so we could go and talk to each other. You know, we go on these, sometimes I'd call them angry hikes. You've never seen two women hike so fast in your life, right? And we would laugh and cry and be mad and everything, right? And it was so therapeutic, but not everybody has that, right? And if it weren't for her, I don't know really where I would be right now. You know, I don't know, would I have stayed in the relationship? Would I still be miserable? Would it have taken me that much longer to heal? I don't know. And that's what I think of, where if there's women out there or men that are out there struggling right now and they don't have anyone to lean on, you know, let us be there, you know, let us support you somehow. I mean, even if it's just to laugh with us for a while. But I think it's so cool that we're getting now people that are reaching out and saying, you know, hey, this is what happened to me. You know, what do you guys think? And like Steve said, you know, we're not always going to have the right answers, right? But we have this experience that we can draw from. He and I come from slightly different perspectives, even though we're kind of coming from the same general perspective, right? So I think it's just great that we all can get together as a community. I think that's so important. And what you're doing, Rick, I think is amazing too. I think, you know, I've listened to your podcast and I love the authenticity. I guess that's what it really all comes back to. You know, I think I love that authenticity of just, you know, oh, and by the way, can we get back to motorcycle for a second?
Speaking of authenticity.
Wow.
You know, he just kind of glazed over that. Did you see that?
No, I diverted. I didn't glaze over. I flat out diverted.
He did. All right. So I, you know, just real quick. I mean, because call me ignorant. I did not know people pronounce motorcycle in Kansas. So we were in our webinar and all of a sudden he says, you know, I love it when I get out on, you know, to clear my head or whatever. when I'm out on my motorcycle, I you know, come up with all these great thoughts and things. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on, go back. Did you just say motorcycle? And he's like, yeah, motorcycle. So then he kind of proved to me, because I started singing the song Bicycle.
There you go.
And I was like, wait a minute. When you say bicycle, right? And you say motorcycle. So I don't know. Who's right, who's wrong? I don't know.
Tomato, tomato. Yeah.
Yeah.
See? But I made you think, Betsy. I made you dig deep.
Yeah, I really did. Think.
We when I first met Glenn, some of the things he said just really threw me. Like he would say, I would say, do you want to go out to dinner tonight, or it's just such and such a place? He would say, we might could. I'm like, we might could. That was just one of many different things. But, you know, I'm sure I have my sayings from Northeast as well. So it's kind of funny.
I love that might could. It gives you a lot of options.
Yeah. You said something, Betsy, that struck a chord with me, and it made me think of, you know, that we can't give ourselves fully to the people in our lives if we have not given ourselves fully to ourselves. And it just made me think of, you know, the me being in a marriage for technically 22 years, 19, separated at 19, but being in a marriage, having told my wife before we were married that I was more attracted to men than women, but we both believed in our Christian church that God was going to fix me. And, you know, being in a state where you are bifurcated, where you are not authentic, where you are not being fully yourself, and have really at that time no one to really talk about it, it's no wonder you can't give what the people around you need when you aren't taking care of yourself. Are you finding folks on your webinar that, you know, the other thing that came to mind was, you know, people that stay in relationships with kids for the kids, and yet they're miserable. And the impact that has. And I don't know, I thought maybe you could speak to some of that stuff with all of your experience.
You know, I'm going to let Steve take this over in a second, but that gave me a neck ache just thinking about it. No, here's the thing, save your marriage if you can, right? I mean, absolutely. I'm not saying, you know, just, you know, you hit a bump in the road and you're out, right? That's not what I'm saying at all, but to stay in it for the kids. Trust me, I came from a family where we as children actually asked my mom to leave my dad. Staying together wasn't doing anything for us. It was making everything more miserable. And, you know, for my ex-husband and I, we didn't fight out loud. You know, it's not like the kids heard us, you know, screaming in the other room. But you know, kids know there's that feeling, right? You know, that vibe that you're giving off. But also the way that you start treating each other is such a bad example for the kids, right? When you think like, hey, do I want my kids to get into a relationship like this? No, I absolutely don't want that. I don't want them to treat their spouse like that or to let their spouse treat them like that. And yet they're going to, because you stayed together and showed them that example, and that's what's going to happen. So, Steve, take it away. You've got this, man.
Well, yeah, I'm just going to jump right into my counseling. I talk about tools and toolbox, and every person who leaves their home gets a toolbox. Okay, these are the tools, like Betsy was talking about. You're going to get good tools, and you're going to get bad tools. That's just any parent. No parent's perfect. No relationship's perfect. But you're going to take those things, and then when you go take your toolbox and you leave and you get into a relationship over here and you start raising kids, guess what comes up when you're fighting, you're having an argument with your spouse and everything? Then you might pick up that old tool of, oh, this is what my dad did. And you're calling your wife and a name or something, or you're throwing out divorce, or, you know, you're starting that fight and everything. So we really have to be cognizant of those tools that we're passing on to our kids. You know, I could talk from my own personal experience of going through my marriage. The first 10, 12 years was great. The last 10, 15 was starting to, you know, go down, but we never fought. We got along. Okay. I can look back in my situation and everybody's situation is different. On the example that Betsy was talking about, where it's negative and you're not bringing your best version of yourselves. Yes. Probably need to get out of that. But if you can get along, like in my case, if I would have went into selfish motives of, oh my gosh, she's not meeting my needs. Oh my gosh, what, where's this marriage, whatever. And it's making me mad, whatever. I'm out of here. I'm divorced. Guess what? I wouldn't have been able to raise my kids. Mm-hmm. Okay. In the state of Kansas, pretty much the woman gets everything and the guy gets nothing. So that's just kind of how it goes. So I knew that. So that again was my vision, even at a subconscious level, I'm sitting here going, I want to raise my kids. I can get along. You know, I can sacrifice X, Y, Z so I can be here for my kids. So each person's situation is individual to what they're going through, but you do not have to stay in a relationship like that. Yeah, I totally agree with Betsy. Save your marriage, but it takes two people. Both people want to have the vision. Okay. If you don't have a vision of where you're going, you're not going to get there. Mm-hmm. So there has to be that clear communication between the husband and the wife to say, this is what we want. This is what we're going for. And sadly, most people can't get past the hurt or the tools that they've been operating in most of their marriage that got them to the point of the division in their marriage that they're sitting there going, there's nothing left. I don't even like you, mm-hmm. let alone love you, let alone want to be with you. You know? So at those points, divorce needs to be an option on the table because, like Betsy was saying, what are we passing on to our kids? And when I hit my clients with that question, they have that look like, pardon the, well, the oh crap moment where they're saying, oh, I never thought of it that way. But they're going to, and then I'll say, so do you want your kids to be able to talk to you when they're 15, 16, 17, 18, when they're going through the most difficult times in their mm-hmm. lives? Do you want to have that relationship with them so they can come to you and say, hey, mom, hey, dad, I got a tough question for you. Can I ask you this? Do you have that kind of relationship with them? Well, yeah, I want to have that. Well, are you developing with it now? So again, the husband and wife have to have those kind of foresights to see what do we want in our marriage? And also what do we want to pass on to our kids?
Yeah, I like that. When you mentioned toolbox too, I couldn't help but think of conditioning. You know, I believe that I was a product of my conditioning, and that toolbox had some things that were good and some things that were bad, but they came out of my conditioning. The things that I absorbed, like you said, in my own environment growing up in a household with a alcoholic, abuse, parents that didn't even sleep in the same room, a lot of fighting all the time. And we carry that stuff. And until we get to a place where we're willing and able to look at the conditioning and begin to question, I've had to do a lot of self-examination, unlearning, a lot of religious crap.
Yeah.
But, you know, that all plays a part, I think. We need to be able to look at ourselves and do the work.
Absolutely.
So if I say this, sometimes I feel, you know, I truly believe it, but I feel like when I say it that people are going to be like, well, that's so selfish. You know, you can't say that. I believe life was meant to be lived in a happy state, that that you were supposed to enjoy life and live it to its fullest. But yet so many of these conditioning things that you're talking about, we grew up with, it's like, no. You're supposed to be just gut it out. You know, it's okay. Like things didn't go your way. Too bad. So sad. So now you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. I think that's wrong. I think that we can make changes and sometimes those have to be drastic changes, like leaving a marriage. Hopefully not. Hopefully, you know, like I said, you can repair that marriage, but you're supposed to be happy. And that's okay. I don't know why so many of us feel guilty for saying that, that, you know, you feel guilty when you say, I want to be happy in life. You know, I want it, you know, you feel like, oh, it's so selfish. I'm thinking about only me. Well, no, because we've gone over this a million times. If you're not happy and you're not the best version of yourself, you're not making the people around you happy. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And just like you said, the family situation I know that I grew up in, sounds like you grew up in too, where you're conditioned to think that this is the way it's supposed to be. So you have two people who really don't love each other. It's obvious they don't love each other, but they're staying together for the kids. We have a miserable environment here, but that's what you do. That's, you know, and that's what was drilled in. This is what, so I just assume that's what you do. Until, like, I think Steve was talking about, the pain gets so much that leads to suffering, that finally you get to a place where, like, what the hell? I need to, something has to change here. And we begin to look and see, you know, that's what comes to mind for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I actually had physical health problems, things that I had never even heard of. I was so stressed out that one day, this is a great story. I was cleaning out my junk drawer because I really don't like junk drawers. I like my junk drawer to be organized, which I guess doesn't make it a junk drawer. But anyway, so I was cleaning it out and all of a sudden my eyes cross and I could not uncross them. And I thought, oh my Lord, I'm having a stroke or something, right? I had no idea what was going on. And so I went down to the ground because we had this very hard slate floor. And I thought, if I fall down, if I like pass out or something and fall, I'm going to hurt myself even worse. So I went to go get my phone. Now this is going to be great, you guys. So I get my phone off the counter as I'm on the ground and I go like this, but I can't see anything because I'm so cross-eyed. I can't even like see the numbers to even dial anyone. So, crazy stuff like that. And I finally, and then I had a red stripe right down the middle of my tongue. And I finally went to my doctor for the fourth time or something over all these weird things that were happening to me. And she looked at me and she said, I can't help you. You need to go see an acupuncturist and tell them that you're under a lot of stress. And I did. I went to this acupuncturist and I started to tell her and I started to cry. And I said, oh no, no, I'm sorry. And I sucked it all in. And she looked at me and she said, that's the problem.
Bingo.
She's like, you have to let this go. You have to cry. And I said, no, if I start crying, I am never going to stop. And that was my fear. And so she, it was the craziest experience I've ever had. She laid me on the table and she put needles in where I've never had needles put in, like my earlobes and my stomach and, you know, my face and things like that. Right. I sat there for a half hour, tears just streaming down the side of my head. It was weird. It was like so many tears as if I was sobbing, but I wasn't actually sobbing. I wasn't doing the, you know, type of thing, but just this release. And she came in and she unhooked me and everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like an elephant has been lifted off my back. And the next day I woke up, no red stripe on my tongue, completely gone. You know, it was amazing.
Amazing, that is.
So let me just piggyback off that happiness thing. Do I have time for this?
Yes, Rick? Yeah.
Okay. If we look at happiness and say, is it okay? And then if we want to be happy, happiness is an emotion that can come and go. But what is joy? And to me, joy is knowing who you are at the core. And that's really where it starts. If we're not the healthiest individual we can be, then how are you going to be the spouse or the parent or the employee or the employer that you're going to be or a friend? It all starts with you. The only person you can control is you. So what would happen? And I had to learn this. Okay. I had to learn this after I was divorced, I was out, I was giving and giving and giving, always giving. And when I was trying to give to myself, it felt so weird. I was like, I was going out to ride adventure motorcycles.
There you go.
Motorcycles in Colorado. And I remember looking in the rear view mirror because I was trailing it out and I'm going, geez, God, I'm actually doing this. This isn't right. I can't be doing this. This is so selfish. But I'm going, no, Bailey's with his mom. She's going to feed him. He's fine. He's okay. This is your time. You wouldn't have him anyway, Steve. This is not your week. Okay. So I'm sitting there going, wow, I can actually do this. I had to retrain myself to say, what does Steve need? And is it okay? So I call that healthy selfishness, because if I'm healthy for myself, I'm going to be the healthiest person for anybody else that I'm with or clients or whatever. So when we talk about happiness, so many people says, they're not making me happy. Well, they can't. You know, you have to know who you are, because if you look to them to fill you, you're just setting yourself up to be hurt, because that person is not always going to be there. They're not going to be the perfect person. That's where grace comes in and forgiveness comes in. And we have to have that common vision. And that so when we have that ourselves centered, we know that this is who I am, man. I don't care what I'm facing. I don't care what my clients are facing. If they know that they're the healthiest version of themselves. And the other thing is, we're doing everything we know to do out of heart of love. Like we were saying at the first, if we're on our webinar and we're giving somebody some advice or counsel and it's wrong, well, guess what? I'm not doing it to hurt you. I'm doing it out of a heart of love, the best I know how. And it's still received as that. And hopefully if it's wrong, they'll come back and say, hey, Steve, that was wrong counsel. Or that's wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. What did you learn from that? Help me understand. Okay. Yeah. So when we find out who we are, the healthiest version of ourselves, That's where it starts in any relationship. Does that make sense?
Yes. We've got to take care of it. We hear that in rooms of recovery all the time. If we are not taking care of ourselves first, if we are not staying sober, for example, right. We have nothing, we can't give away what we don't have. You know, so if we've got to take care of ourselves, and it does, I know there are people who struggle thinking that it's selfish. It's not. Right. It's selfless.
Or guilt.
Yeah.
Feelings of guilt because I did something for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Do you think that's one of the hardest things, though, for people? Not everyone, but for a lot of people, is to actually know what it is that truly brings them joy. Because I think we've been repressing it for so long and been afraid to admit it that I feel like people really do know what it is, but they don't know how to admit it or how to get to it or how to be okay with it.
Right.
I spent so much time saying to myself, I have so much more to give. I want so much more out of this life. How do I do it? Well, who's got the answer for me? I have the answer for me. But I needed to start going and looking into myself through self-development. You know, mm-hmm. I always thought self-development stuff was like woo-woo, like whatever people like, you know. But it really is amazing, you know, and some self-development, you know, seminars and courses and boot camps and all those things are going to be good for some people and not so good for other people, right? And I'm sure I'll end up, you know, maybe enrolling in one that I don't really jive with, right? But I think you're always going to get something out of it. But it's really helping you find out what you already know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we all know, but we're afraid to admit, mm-hmm. or we're afraid, like you said, to do it because we feel selfish. But there are people out there that will say, well, I don't know what's going to make me happy.
But do this one thing. I would tell my clients, do this one thing, just like myself. You have to give yourself permission. Mm-hmm. You have to give yourself permission to be able to say, this is what I want, and this is what I'm going to go, and that's what I'm going to go get. It's like we were talking in the first of the show here, but there's all that stuff, all that conditioning that we have to fight through that mm-hmm. says, you can't have that, Steve. You can't have that. That's guilt. That's shame. That's, you know, whatever. But you have to give yourself permission to do the work to go get that.
One of the things that helped me was, you know, very early on in our digital marketing work with Betsy is the book Start With Why by Simon Sinek. Oh,
and amazing.
It takes you back. And, you know, one of the videos we watched too, if you go back in your life and try to find those places where you experienced joy, true joy. I was able to go back to like being 5-6 years old at a birthday party where I simply was helping someone who invited me to this party who I thought was very old. I think she was 13. And I felt so honored to be there that when the party was over, all I wanted to do was help clean up and get the house looking right again. And she couldn't have been more appreciative. And it was one after another as I went over my life of the times that I experienced most joy. And they all happened to be at times when I was providing service, some kind of kindness to someone else. So I think if that's a great book, and maybe Steve, Betsy, you might have some others, but Start With Why with Simon Sinek. Why, you know, go back and look, take the time to go back and look, and you will find, because like Betsy said, we already know it's in there. We've fallen asleep. You know, we've become unconscious in some ways because of the conditioning of our lives.
Yeah. For finding, you know, your life purpose, there's this exercise that you do, which is exactly that, is you go back and you think about your life and you think about all the things that brought you joy. Like you said, you think about what is something that I could do or talk about for an hour and feel like only 5 minutes went by, right? What is something that you're super passionate about? And it was funny because as I was going through all this, I thought, oh, well, you know, I coached for years and I loved coaching. Then I got into personal training, which is more coaching, right? And that's how I kind of came upon life coaching, right? But then I thought back even further. If you go way, way back, I was in first or second grade and there was a girl in the class and she struggled with math and other things. And so the teacher said to me, Betsy, can you help her with her math? And so every day there would be time where I went and helped her with her math. I absolutely love that. I never thought of it as a chore. I thought, what a great time for me to be able, I mean, of course, I'm not thinking of this as a first or second grader, but as I look back on it as an adult, I think that's why I liked it so much, that I never thought, oh God, I got to help her again, or I can't believe the teacher makes me do this. I really love doing it. And that would be really, when I think about it, my first experience as coaching and really loving to help people. Mm-hmm. So when you think about that and you start, you know, if there's one thing, one thread through your entire life that you have always found joy in, and it can be something super simple, right? It doesn't have to be complex, but you build on it. So you say, okay, well, you really like coaching. You really like health and fitness. You really like nutrition. Right now you see where you're going with it. But if you're not an outgoing extroverted person, then you're going to take that role in more of a behind the scenes type of thing, right? Maybe you want to write articles on it or something like that, rather than being the trainer out in front of everybody jumping up and down, right? Or meeting with people every day. So it's really kind of cool when you go through these exercises to take the simplest things in your life, to really, really dig down deep and find out what it is that makes you happy, what makes you passionate and excited about stuff. And that's a great way, place to start.
Yeah, I love that. So I was thinking, you know, that I can't do this life alone. I learned that probably the hard way. You know, growing up in a home with alcoholism and finding that I felt that from a very young age that, you know, if I didn't do it myself, it wasn't going to get done. That no one was going to take care of me, that I needed to figure things out. So I learned not to ask a lot of questions for fear of embarrassment, of not knowing, and just flounder around and try to figure it out myself. It wasn't until my later years in life when I realized that we all need community. We all need a place where we have this, a safe space where we can truly share what's going on, hear from others and their stories, their experiences, their strength, their hope. We need to do this life together. We're not meant to do it alone. So I really want to encourage folks to reach out and check out No BS with BS. I'd ask Danny if you would put up their screen there. So if you're watching this on Facebook or seeing this on video, it's No BS with BS, and it's Steve Nachtigall. And Steve has his contact information up there. It's staystrongstayfocused60@gmail.com is the email. And website staystrongstayfocused.com. And Betsy is support at BetsyFlorence.com. And also a website is New Sky Life, NEWSKYLIFE, newskylife.com. And you can reach them, No BS with BS, at Facebook. It's a group, Facebook group, No BS with BS. And you can also reach out to the YouTube channel is at No BS with BS. So grateful to have had you both here today. Looking forward to hearing more stories, more funny stories of motorcycles and things like that, but mostly the lives that you're impacting and changing for the better. It's what it's all about. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having us on, Rick.
My pleasure. And Danny, if you'll go ahead and put up my splash screen. If you want to reach out to us here, we are The Awakened Collective, and our website is theawakenedcollective.org. If you're struggling in any way, we would really love to be able to help you out. All of the information, anything you could possibly want to know about The Awakened Collective is out there on this webpage. Thanks so much for joining us today. Until next time, my friends, love and kindness always. Thank you.